Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Easter week continues. Happy Easter week to you. A very happy Easter week. Hope it's progressing joyfully for you and yours. Certainly feels joyful around here at Catholic Answers. The joy continues on and on. Today, we have 2 hours of pro-life open forum. We're going to discuss issues of human life from its earliest conception to its natural death, and any of the crises that happened in between. Pro-life open forum means if you have any question about the ethics of caring for and preserving and avoiding assaulting and the dignity of human life, give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. First hour, we got a big celebrity as our guest. Dr. George Delgado is our guest, and he's the medical director of Culture of Life Family Healthcare. He's board certified in family medicine and in hospice and palliative medicine. He's also completed the certificate program in healthcare ethics offered by the National Catholic Bioethics Center. And I say he's a big celebrity because they have an article about him and his work today in the Washington Post. Dr. George Delgado, thank you for being with us.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm so impressed with the article in the Washington Post, in part because I feel like the Washington Post gave you a fair hearing about the work that you're doing. And I'll ask you to describe that. But essentially, you have developed a method by which if a woman attempts or goes to the clinic and attempts a chemical abortion, which has two drugs involved in it, after she takes the first drug, she regrets her choice and does not want to take the life of the child, which I was impressed with how often that happens. That's a common thing. You've developed a technique whereby you can give a very high chance that the baby can be saved in that situation. Have I described it appropriately?
I think you have, yes. And so oftentimes people do change their minds after making very big decisions, and abortion is not exempt from that. And so we have women who call all the time to our hotline at abortionpillreversal.com expressing an interest in learning more about the reversal procedure. And as you know, as you said, the Washington Post just did an article because on April 1st, our scientific article was published in a peer-reviewed medical journal called Issues in Law and Medicine. And in that article, we describe more than 250 successful reversals, how women who changed their mind after taking mifepristone were given progesterone in order to attempt to reverse that medical abortion procedure. And if you look at the two subgroups that have the best, which are our best protocols, what we call the high-dose oral protocol, there was a success rate of 68% survival and went on to deliver babies. And in the injection protocol, there was a 64% rate of success. When you look at the entire group, including those who got very low doses of progesterone, then the overall average is 48%. But, of course, now we're going to always encourage women to use our very best protocols now that we know what they are. Now, this compares to a historical control, which is quoted in that Washington Post article, that if a woman takes mifepristone and does nothing else at all and just waits to see what happens, the unborn baby will survive 25% of the time. So we've taken that 25% survival and increased it up to 68% with our very best protocol. So we're very, very excited to give women a second chance at choice.
You know, I cannot imagine being in a position to say you've undertaken this research and you've kind of developed this procedure that at the very least you can look and say 257 human lives saved. I mean, how does that make you feel?
Well, it's very humbling, and it really gives me a very special sense of purpose that God has allowed me to participate in His work and to really to save physical lives, but at the same time we are saving and changing spiritual lives, because the women in these situations who have that second chance at choice, that they're very, very grateful for it, and we think that we're part of a conversion process in their lives where they really are going to do things better and really seek to follow their God-given instincts of nurturing their young and doing something good for their in their lives for their children and for their families and for the world. So it's great to be a part of all that.
Dr. George Delgado is our guest. It's a pro-life open forum this hour. Give us a call, 888-318-7884, if you have questions related to life in all of its different stages and the ethics of how we care for, and in some cases, in far, far too many cases, about how we attack life. If you have a question about any of that, your question is welcome, 888-318-7884. So I got the impression reading this article, Dr. Delgado, in the Washington Post today, that maybe some of the it strikes me that maybe some of the big institutions like American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists are sort of captured a little bit by they seem captured by an ideological view that abortion is good and stop trying to say that it's not.
I tend to agree, and it's based on my experience of the reaction to the work that we've done. There's been a significant amount of prejudice and an unwillingness to listen to us and to really take a look at the science from the very get-go, unfortunately. And we've seen that from the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists and other leaders in the OBGYN field, that they seem to think that it's almost impossible that a woman would change her mind, number one, which of course to me and to most reasonable people is preposterous. And then number two, they make assumptions that what we're doing is not safe or not effective, when actually the growing scientific evidence shows quite otherwise. We now have this large case series that shows it's successful, and our case series and other medical literature shows that it's safe. You know, even ACOG themselves say that mifepristone is not associated with any birth defects. And progesterone has been used in pregnancy for over 50 years and is considered very, very safe. And in fact, the in vitro fertilization doctors use progesterone routinely during the first trimester of all the pregnancies that that they have with their patients. So we really think that this is safe and effective. There's no alternative treatment. So if a woman changes her mind, why not give her that option?
Do you have any information now that other doctors are around the country are picking up this and saying, okay, or this here's a tool we have. If a woman comes and says, I took this, the first of these abortion drugs, I don't want to do this. What can you do for me? Now we've got this tool.
Well, we are seeing that. We are seeing an increasing number of doctors wanting to join our network. That's number one. And number two, we're seeing anecdotes. For example, there was a few months ago, there was an article in the New York Times magazine about our work, and they interviewed a pro-choice reproductive endocrinologist who's an OBGYN infertility doctor at Yale, who said he didn't think that this was a good thing to do. But then he said, on the other hand, if my daughter were pregnant and accidentally took mifepristone, I would certainly give her progesterone. So there he was giving tacit approval, at least to our logic. And then now in this Washington Post article, Dr. Daniel Grossman from the University of California, San Francisco, who actually authored an article in the journal Contraception about 2 years ago that was really an attack piece on our work, he says in there that, and I'm quoting him, it makes some biologic sense, unquote, that flooding the body with progesterone could counter the effect of the first abortion pill. So there he's really saying that it does make sense. And I think that that's very telling when someone who has really opposed you now sort of concedes that point right there.
Frankly, it comes off as kind of paternalistic, this idea that, oh, as the doctor, I don't want to bother. It's almost like, oh, we don't want to bother the little ladies with this added information. just let's just keep this quiet.
Yeah, it is, and it, it's also interesting that they say they're all for choice, except when the choice is not to have an abortion. So it really makes you wonder, are they really pro-choice or are they just pro-abortion?
It does indeed make you wonder that. 888-31-TRUTH is our number, 888-318-7884. If you'd like to know more about this technique, this process that Dr. Delgado has been a leader in developing, using progesterone to counter the effects of one of the abortion pills that are prescribed, you can certainly call about that. But if you have any questions at all about pro-life issues involving human life and human dignity, 888-318-7884 is the number. I wonder, however, if you went into the average abortion providing facility and you said, hey, you guys gave me this drug yesterday, I don't want to do it, can I have the progesterone? I would gather the answer would be no.
That's been the answer we've heard from women who call our hotline, because often they will call the abortion center first because that's the healthcare provider they know. And when they call there, they often are told that either, number one, it's impossible to reverse it, or number two, your baby's sure to have birth defects. So these people at the abortion centers either are not keeping up with the medical literature or they're lying to these clients.
That's just horrifying, isn't it? Well, we have to take a quick break. Lots of folks on the line for you, Dr. Delgado. Again, congratulations on the publishing of this research that seems to show such a positive outcome for the use of progesterone in this way, and on the pretty fair hearing you got in media today, which we don't always expect on the pro-life side, to be frank. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. Dr. Delgado is here to take your calls. We'll do that right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Many atheists assert the only real form of knowledge is scientific knowledge, thus excluding any sort of religious knowledge, whether philosophical or theological. Such a belief is called scientism, and it's unreasonable for two reasons. First, it's self-refuting. Its truth cannot be verified by the scientific method. It's a metaphysical proposition, and as such, is not scientific knowledge. But if science can't verify the truth of scientism, well then, scientism itself cannot be a legitimate form of knowledge, in which case, it's self-refuting. Moreover, scientism undermines science as a rational form of inquiry because it denies presupposed philosophical assumptions that are necessary to even do science, such as there's an external world outside the minds of scientists. So to reject God's existence on the grounds that it's not scientific knowledge is simply unreasonable. I'm Carlo Broussard with the Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Talking about abortion can be scary. But so is anything with which you're unfamiliar. People need to learn how to talk about abortion in ways that inspire confidence in the truth of the pro-life position. We must talk about abortion because we are afraid. Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, is the new book by apologist Trent Horn that teaches you to face those fears, to engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue with the goal of persuading others. Field-tested on college campuses, Persuasive Pro-Life will help you to change people's hearts and minds and begin to build up a pro-life culture in today's world, one person, one conversation at a time. Order your copy of Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, today by calling 1-888-291-8000, going to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore in your area. Also available as an ebook.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. In this hour, a pro-life open forum all hour. If you have questions about life, about medical ethics, give us a call, 888-318-7884. Dr. George Delgado is our guest. And if you're looking for that article we were talking about, it is at the Washington Post website. You can get that article today. But what I didn't mention, Dr. Delgado, was the website for this abortion reversal.
Yes, abortionpillreversal.com.
That's pretty good. That's pretty easy. AbortionPillReversal.com. You can go there for more information on this. Lots of calls. Let's go to Gene in Madison, Wisconsin, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. Gene, you are on with Dr. George Delgado.
Hello, doctor. Thank you. I just pulled up the Planned Parenthood to pray for an hour, and nine people just came out of the worker door, so they're all going home. There's about three left. But Jesus said that the love of money is the root of all evil. How is the love of money the root of all evil at Planned Parenthood?
Well, that's a great question, and I think the more recent revelations from people like Abby Johnson and others like Carol Everett, who didn't work for Planned Parenthood but had an abortion business, shows that the Planned Parenthood and the other big abortion clinics, and probably all abortion clinics, really are based on a very clever financial model, and it's based on their main business, their cash cow, is abortion, and then that is, there's been an appendage to that, an addition, which is selling the fetal body parts for profit. And so everything is funnels into that. And it all starts, first of all, with their so-called teen education and even preteen education when they get into, you know, their Planned Parenthoods and the Girl Scouts. They're allied with some medical big medical groups. They have websites. And what they do is they desensitize children to sexual activity and sexual thoughts, shattering the sexual latency. They encourage teens to have all sorts of sexual activity and tell them that it's okay to do whatever sexual activity that you feel is you are ready to do. Then they give them condoms, which fail. They also give them low-dose birth control pills, which they are calculated to fail a certain percentage of the time. And so what happens when they fail and the girl becomes pregnant? Well, of course, there has to be a second option. And this U.S. Supreme Court agreed with that philosophy in the Casey case, where it said that a society that governs its actions based on the availability of contraception must have abortion as a second backup plan in case that contraception fails. And so Planned Parenthood and these other abortion providers know that when the contraception fails, which it does, especially in the hands of young people who aren't always as fastidious as they should be about taking things when they should, then they will be back for abortions. And then once you have a first abortion, they know they'll be back for a second and a third. This is a very clever marketing scheme. It's been researched extensively. They know exactly what they're doing, and that funnels it all into that cash cow of abortion. And then they've gone from there to, well, why should we just throw away these body parts when we can sell them? And so now, as Dave and Delayden has demonstrated, they are selling or have been selling body parts. So that's how the love of money is at the root of the evil of Planned Parenthood and its allies.
Thank you, Doctor. Excellent. Thank you for all your great work with God.
You're welcome, and thanks for praying in front of that center, because it's primarily a spiritual battle, and your prayers are quite valuable in changing the hearts and minds of people who go in and out of that center.
Thank you, Gene. Thanks so much for the call. 888-31-TRUTH, the number. We continue on here. We'll go to Darlene in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Darlene, you are on with Dr. George Delgado. Your question.
Delgado, I am a volunteer at a crisis pregnancy center, and we occasionally get women who have either visited Planned Parenthood and have already taken their Plan B or sometimes the Plan A pill and still feel that they are pregnant. And so my question to you is, in those cases, if they still feel that they are pregnant, how can this protocol for progesterone help them, and how do we get them in touch with someone that can put them on your protocol for this progesterone treatment to save their pregnancy?
Well, first, let's clear up a common misconception, and that's the confusion and that Plan B is the same as the abortion pill. So Plan B is really marketed as a contraceptive, although it almost certainly has abortifacient properties. But the Plan B and the related kind of drugs are taken before a woman even knows she's pregnant. It's taken within hours to days after intercourse. So she really doesn't know if she's pregnant. While the medical abortion, or mifepristone, previously known as RU-46, it's taken by a woman who knows she's pregnant and intends to cause an abortion. So it's taken up to 10 weeks of pregnancy. So that's the difference there. So if a woman has taken that mifepristone, the first drug in the two-drug cocktail for causing a medical abortion, and she changes her mind, and you want to help her, then you can go to abortionpillreversal.com, and you can read up on the abortion pill reversal process. And then if the woman is interested, then she can call our hotline that's there on the website. Now, if you want to sort of be ready for it as a pregnancy center, which I encourage you to do, because what I tell pregnancy centers that are not yet in our network is that sooner or later, a woman is going to show up to you and say she's taken mifepristone and changed her mind and wants your help. So you might as well be ready to help her and not think that it's not going to happen. So be prepared, be ready. Pregnancy centers and pregnancy clinics can join our network as hubs, and we can explain all that to you by going to our website or by writing to us at apreversal@gmail.com. We can get you all that information so that you can be ready and willing and capable of helping women who've taken mifepristone and then changed their minds.
Okay, Darlene?
That sounds awesome. We'll definitely be doing that. Thank you so much.
Super.
Well, God bless you, sister, and all the work you do. Thank you so much for doing it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, we got time. Let's go to Mary in Erie, Pennsylvania, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM satellite radio. Mary in Erie, you are on with Dr. George Delgado.
Well, first of all, thank you, Dr. Delgado, for all the work that you're doing in saving lives and educating people. My question is about the other end of a woman's reproductive capacity and what seems to be kind of an increase in hysterectomies. So women and some friends of mine who are younger and younger are getting hysterectomies almost as a treatment for recurrent uterine fibroids, prolapse issues. And as a Catholic woman, I think it just kind of poses some ethical issues, and I just wanted to know what your opinion was on that.
Yeah, that can be a difficult situation. There really are three angles to look at here. There's first is the woman who is still in her fertile years, and if she has a hysterectomy, then of course that will render her sterile. And so there has to be a very good reason in order to accept that sterility as an unintended consequence of a treatment. And of course, if someone goes into a hysterectomy really wanting to be sterile, and this is just an excuse for sort of taking care of two things at once, and really the intent is for sterilization, then that would not be ethically acceptable. But let's say it's a woman who has some medical problems related to the uterus. Then the question is there any better treatment that could be rendered to that woman that would take care of the problem, but that would not lead to sterility? And if there is, then it's incumbent upon that woman to undergo the procedure that would not take out the uterus, that would just treat the problem itself. So that would be the thinking there. If it's a woman in her post-fertile years who's, let's say, menopausal, then the bar is not as high. Then having a hysterectomy doesn't have as many as the ethical concerns, although there always is an ethical discussion at least to be had whenever any kind of body part, even if it's just your finger, let's say, is amputated. There has to be a good and just reason to amputate a body part. It has to be truly treating a disease. So you still have to go through that thought process. Is there a better, less invasive, less destructive way to treat this problem? If there is, then you would do that. But if there isn't, which oftentimes there are not, and you know, bleeding problems and other things can be difficult, then it would be okay to have a hysterectomy. So I think that's kind of how you would look at it, is you'd look at the ethical part first, and the ethical hurdles are sort of higher if the woman is still in her fertile years. And then you look at the medical part. Is there a better, less invasive, simpler treatment instead of having a hysterectomy in order to treat the condition? Does that make sense?
Yeah, good. Thank you. I know a lot of women are encouraged, and, you know, doctors are saying, you know, this is the best route. And I think people really tend to believe and trust in their medical professionals. And I'm not sure the alternates are always put out there. But
I agree.
Thank you for your thoughts on that.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mary, very much for that call. 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-318-7884. Just before we go to a break, I would like to remind our listeners that it's the first week of April, and that means it's time to kick off our annual spring sale, and we want to invite you to it. Anytime you order a Catholic Answers product, you can save 15% right now by entering promo code SPRING18 when you check out at shop.catholic.com. Save 15% on everything at shop.catholic.com just by entering the word SPRING18. Dr. George Delgado is our guest this hour. We're talking life in all of its stages and the ethics of how we treat one another. We'll be right back with more on that after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
I feel that God has been really doing a work in me in the last 5-10 years. I'm a convert to Catholicism, and I started to just really feel a passion to know more about the Catholic faith, and I started listening to Catholic radio all day. I'm not doing great things, but I'm doing small things with great love.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and you've probably heard me explain Catholicism to non-Catholic callers on the radio or engage opponents in formal public debates. I've always hoped these interactions would show people how to graciously defend and share our faith, but they're not enough. That's why I've created a weekly podcast that will help Catholics answer the toughest objections against our faith. Every episode of the Council of Trent will provide listeners with a conversation roadmap that will help them share their faith with anyone. Keep in mind that I hate boring lectures. These podcasts will contain entertaining, informative, and practical explanations of the faith, as well as interviews with the best Catholic writers and speakers in the world today. Visit TrentHornPodcast.com today to find out how you can subscribe to my new podcast. That's TrentHornPodcast.com.
The world is changing. The days of picking up a paperback book or popping a DVD or compact disc in the player have given way to the digital age. The good news is that the shop at Catholic.com has joined the digital revolution. Check out the new digital platform at shop.catholic.com, where all of our DVDs, books, and audio products are now available in digital form for you to purchase and download at your convenience, anywhere you go. For that matter, anywhere in the world. We've got hundreds of offerings, so visit shop.catholic.com today and check out our selection. That's shop.catholic.com.
A very happy Easter to you and yours. Thanks so much for joining us here on Catholic Answers Live. It is the joyful season, and I hope that that joy has reached your home and your family. 888-318-7884 is our number here. If you prefer the spelling version, 888-31-TRUTH, 888-31-TRUTH. It is a pro-life open forum, so if you have any questions about life, about the ethics of caring for life, about our obligations to one another, please give us a call, 888-318-7884. Sometimes we have these pro-life open forums, and all the calls will focus on the early part of life, abortion and reproduction and all those kinds of things. And sometimes we'll do it, and it'll all seem to focus on the late stages of life, euthanasia questions, assisted suicide questions, palliative care type questions. Don't be swayed. If you have a question that's not fitting with the theme of the day, whether it's one way or the other, we welcome all questions having to do with life in all of its stages. 888-318-7884. Dr. Delgado has treated it all and has studied it all at the Catholic Bioethics Center and is happy to take your call. Again, 888-318-7884. We go now to Robert in Lafayette, Louisiana, listening on to EWTN on Sirius Satellite 130. Robert, your question for Dr. Delgado.
Hi, Dr. Delgado. I was very glad to hear you speak this afternoon. And I was curious, has it been your experience that OBGYNs in general, with few exceptions, when a woman has a problem with her reproductive organs, their first response is, here, take hormonal contraceptive pills and that'll fix it. And they give very little consideration to all of the terrible side effects. We know there's some studies that suggest that breast cancer in particular tracks along with the increase in use of hormonal contraceptive. There's a lot of other environmental issues too that I won't ask about, but particularly are the OBGYNs trained to, here, take this pill, regardless of all of these other issues?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's always hard to put everybody in the same bag, but I think these days we can make some generalities, and certainly based on my interactions with different OBGYNs and different times when I've treated patients that have also been treated by OBGYNs. And I think the characterization can be made that the birth control pill is the hammer, and so everything becomes a nail. And that's a tendency, really, with all of us, if you think about it. You get something that becomes a tool, and you become skilled at using it, and you want to use it for as many things as possible. And that happens in medicine, it happens in life, it happens in business. Everyone falls into that trap, I think. Now, the trap, however, with the birth control pill is a particularly dangerous trap, though, compared to other times when that happens in our lives. And that's for a few reasons. One, you've already mentioned, which is becoming more and more known now, and that's that a woman who takes a birth control pill, particularly before her first term pregnancy, will increase her risk of breast cancer. In the same manner that a woman who has an abortion before her first term pregnancy will increase her risk of breast cancer. And probably abortions any time will increase the risk, but particularly before the first term pregnancy. And that's because we know that the birth control pills can stimulate breast cells to start to develop, but then they don't develop all the way to maturation. And so they're in a very vulnerable situation. When cells are dividing, but they haven't yet reached the protected maturation point, they can have errors in the duplication of the DNA, and those errors then can lead to cancer. Because when you have a gene that is copied erroneously, then it can do things it shouldn't do. And one of those things it shouldn't do is to cause uncontrolled growth, which is what we call cancer. So there's that problem right there. There's also the issue of other side effects that are really minimized, and that include, especially in a woman who's a smoker, and especially with women who have migraine headaches, increased risk of stroke, some liver problems, blood clot problems, other things that are not very common, but they also are very rare in young, healthy, fertile females. And so when it happens to one of those, and it really wasn't necessary, of course, then it's a huge tragedy. And for it just to happen to one woman who has a devastating stroke at the age of 25 or 30 or even younger, that can be, you know, it's a life-altering, devastating thing. Then, of course, we move to the more ethical and moral areas, and that's where, let's say, if you have a woman or a girl who has acne and the doctor prescribes a birth control pill for acne. And of course, birth control pills, certain ones of them, they do help acne. There's no doubt about that. But again, why are you using the hammer for that treatment when we have such wonderful acne medicines these days that, you know, 90% of the time we can get the worst cases of acne well controlled, better than with birth control pills, and we without all the side effects. But again, why do they use the birth control pill? Because in the back of their minds they're saying, well, she may not be sexually active now, but we know she will be, and she'll want to be protected. And so there's that kind of a paternalistic or maternalistic, depending on the gender of the doctor, assumption that I know what's best for this patient, and I better make sure she doesn't get pregnant because I know she's going to have sex. She's not going to be chaste. And then what happens to that girl who's put on birth control pills ostensibly for acne or for bad periods or for irregular periods, or pick whatever you want, then in the back of her mind she knows, well, gosh, I could actually have sex and I won't get pregnant. That's the mindset. And so her defense, her own psychological defenses go down. She's not going to be on guard as much when she has that boyfriend, or she's had too many drinks and she's not making wise decisions. And it actually will lead her to unchaste behavior and to have sex when she wouldn't have ordinarily or normally, because she would still be on guard and she would be knowing that there would be consequences to her actions. And so that is really the spiritual and the moral consequence of doctors using contraceptives as a treatment for so many different things. And they tout this, and they have lots of research on the so-called non-contraceptive benefits of oral contraceptive pills. And it's really, it's sort of like they've tried to make a case for why every woman in the United States under the age of 50 should be on a birth control pill. And it's really unfortunate that they try to use that hammer on every single woman, to the detriment of the physical and the spiritual health of those women.
Robert, I hope that was helpful. Thank you so much for that call. I'm going to move now to Jamie in Orlando, Florida, listening on Divine Mercy Radio. Jamie, you're on with Dr. George Delgado. Hi, Jamie.
Hey, Jamie, I
hate to do this to you, but we can't really hear you. Can you get close to the phone? If you're on speaker, take it off speaker.
Oh, okay.
Okay, does that work better?
What? No, yeah, it works better. Just kidding. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, so a few of us here in Orlando got wind of a meeting that is supposed to be taking place among some pro-choicers called Get Fake Clinics Out of Orlando. And we found out about this going through multiple layers of protection on their part, trying to weed out pro-lifers from attending. We found out about this, and now we're kind of wondering what should be the best tactic for how to handle this. We were wondering, do we just kind of like, we know the location now and the time, so would we just kind of like stand outside with signs to kind of let them know, hey, we're on to you, or do we send somebody in to listen in on the meeting, or what other
Jamie, who's having the meeting?
Suggest?
Who's having this meeting?
It is a group of pro-choicers that they're calling themselves Get Fake Clinics Out of Orlando. They're targeting crisis pregnancy centers,
And
I think the plan is to try to figure out kind of like how to go undercover and ask gotcha questions to show, these people aren't really for what they call reproductive health.
Oh, yeah. In California, we call those people the legislature and the governor, but it's different there in Florida, apparently. Dr. Delgado.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, you know, the California case is very revealing because the state legislature passed a law requiring all pregnancy help centers to have signs with specified font size in up to, I think, 15 different languages. So you can imagine that you're going to cover your entire wall with these signs saying that we do not provide abortions, and here's where the nearest abortion center is, and we're not a licensed facility. All these things that try to stigmatize these pregnancy resource centers and frankly, going against the First Amendment free speech rights of these pregnancy help centers. So the state of California was sued, and the case worked its way up now to the U.S. Supreme Court. They heard the arguments about 2 weeks ago, I believe. And there, one of the justices asked the Attorney General of the state of California, Javier Becerra, well, do you have a case where a pregnancy resource center misrepresented itself? And he hemmed and hawed, and he said, well, has there been a case? Has there ever been a complaint filed? No, there have not. So in the entire state of California, which is bigger than most countries in the world, they could not dig up a case where there was a, quote, fake clinic. And so I think that's very telling in that the pro-life clinics do not misrepresent themselves in general. I can't speak for all of them, of course, But I think we just have to go ahead and go by our record. And I would try to go to that meeting. If you can get somebody inside the meeting, that would be the best, just to listen to what they're up to. But if not, I would be outside in front with peaceful signs. And I would stress the fact that women have the right to know all options, and that pregnancy centers have the right to have their businesses the way they see fit and to exercise their First Amendment rights. And those First Amendment rights include talking about the sanctity of life and telling people that, no, we will not refer for abortion because we don't think that that is the right thing to do. So I think those things are very important. And then, you know, again, anytime something like this happens, it's a good opportunity to examine how you're running your pregnancy resource centers to make sure that everything you're doing is totally ethically above board, transparent, and basically in keeping with Christian principles that the truth will always set us free. We always want to be truthful, but at the same time, we want to defend ourselves vigorously.
Jamie, how's that sit with you? Jamie?
Good, thank you. Yes, I had one other comment. I was just kind of surprised that they wanted to make sure that they were genuine reproductive centers, but crisis pregnancy centers are the only ones that are actually making sure reproduction comes to fruition, comes to completion. So I thought it was ironic choice of words on their part.
That is ironic. The other thing is to don't fall into their trap of and what they try to do is they coin the word reproductive services, and then they define that as including abortion. So you want to make sure you don't fall in the trap of letting them define all the terms, and by arguing that abortion is not a reproductive service, it's an anti-reproductive service, like you're implying right there, because too often they control the words, and then they control the outcome. So we want to make sure that we do counter them on that. And I think, you know, in the state of Florida, I think, you know, your laws are pretty supportive. And I think just knowing what the laws say and allow so that you don't let them take you down a rabbit hole and concede a point which you really do not need to concede. The only thing you need to concede is that we will not refer or perform abortions, which is the absolute truth, and we want everyone to know that because we want them to know that this is a place to go that affirms life and that will protect the unborn child and the mother. And I would emphasize again that we are all about protecting the rights of the mother, the dignity of the mother, because at these abortion centers, they are not given true informed consent. I mean, our own abortion pill reversal experience shows that they're not told that there's a possibility of reversal. They're given lies all the time. Things are not explained to them. They really don't have the option for choice. They're in a corner, and they feel they have no way out. And so these abortion centers really victimize them, and they manipulate them, and they take advantage of this situation where they feel they really have no options.
Jamie, we got to head to a break. Thank you very, very much for that call. Follow up with us sometime. I'd like to hear how that turns out. Dr. George Delgado is our guest. It's a pro-life open forum. Give us a call, 888-318-7884. Be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Call us now with your question.
Hello?
On Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers is doing it again. We're holding our fifth annual Apologetics Conference this September in beautiful San Diego, California, and we'd like to see you there.
We've had a wonderful time going home all enthused.
Every time we come here, it's just an incredible experience.
Normally, you'd have to root through a dozen different books to get half the stuff I've learned here.
These guys are so amazing. I always get so much, learn so much. I've already signed up for next year.
Join us this September 27th to the 30th for a lively and inspiring conference with an all-star lineup of speakers guaranteed to jumpstart your faith. All of your favorite Catholic Answers apologists and special keynote speaker, Raymond Leo Cardinal Burke.
I enjoy the atmosphere and the friendliness of the people. I'm having a great time.
I love it. I love it. I'm so glad I came here.
I've just learned so much. You know, I've been a Catholic all my life. It's just been so wonderful.
I love it. I want to come back every year.
Pope Francis said, "The key that opens the door to the faith is prayer."
Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Over the years, we have heard thousands of stories of how the ministry of Catholic Answers and Catholic Answers Live has changed lives all over the world. Do you have such a story? We'd love to hear how Catholic Answers has changed your life. Send your story to us today. Email us at mystory@catholic.com, or you can call 619-387-7200 to make an audio recording of your story.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Dr. George Delgado. Dr. Delgado is the Director of Culture of Life Family Healthcare. He's a board-certified family medicine and hospice and palliative care doctor. He also completed the certification program in healthcare ethics offered by the National Catholic Bioethics Center. And man, they are doing good work at that National Catholic Bioethics Center, aren't they?
Yes, it's a great organization.
Yeah, we get to talk with Father Tad every now and then. That guy, man, what a gift he is.
He is. I was blessed to have him as a mentor in my bioethics training, and he's just fantastic.
Our open forum for a pro-life open forum, I should say, means if you've got a question about the care of life in its earliest stages and its latest stages or in any stages in between, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Let's go to Anonymous in Montana. Anonymous, you are on with Dr. George Delgado. Your question, please.
Thank you for taking my call. I have two questions. The first is, what guidelines or directives exist to guide Catholic hospitals? I'm aware of the USCCB document, but wondering if there are other documents that can help provide guidance. And my second question is particular to the situation of a woman who is undergoing a C-section and also desires tubal ligation. And I'm wondering if it is acceptable for this procedure to be done within a Catholic hospital in order to minimize her risk if she's going to have that tubal ligation done. Regardless, she would be incurring additional risk to have to undergo an additional surgery, anesthesia, etc. So just looking for some guidance on that topic.
Okay. Well, let's take them in the reverse order. The tubal ligation at the time of a cesarean section, the way you phrased it, your premise, I think, is faulty. And that is, you're assuming, the assumption there is that she has to have the tubal ligation. So you're saying you want to mitigate the risk by only having one surgery. However, that's a false premise. She does not have to have the tubal ligation. That is an elective lifestyle procedure. She's not having the tubal ligation because of any medical problem, any medical situation. There's no disease in the tubes. She's having it for lifestyle, and that is because she doesn't want to have any more children. So that sterilization procedure is what we call intrinsically evil. It can never be justified. So because of that, no Catholic, and in fact no person following God's plan or even the natural law, should have a tubal ligation. And certainly no Catholic hospital should ever allow a tubal ligation, whether it's part of a cesarean section or just a standalone surgery, to ever occur in its operating rooms. And that is a basic fundamental Catholic teaching. Does that ever happen in Catholic hospitals? I bet it does, but it shouldn't. And what governs the Catholic hospitals in the United States is a document called the Ethical and Religious Directives, or ERD. And the Ethical and Religious Directives is a set of directives that governs Catholic hospitals and Catholic healthcare organizations. essentially putting out the guidelines of how the work of a Catholic health care organization is based on the divine physician, on Jesus Christ himself, and is based on helping the sick and the poor, the marginalized, and giving them the very best medical care in order to uplift their dignity as human persons. And in order to uplift their dignity as human persons, there are some things that we would not do to people, and that includes sterilization, that includes prescribing contraceptives, that includes euthanasia, and other things that would violate the natural law. So it's a pretty comprehensive set of guidelines that all Catholic hospitals in the United States are supposed to follow. It's was passed and promulgated and updated by the United States Catholic bishops. Now, there are many Catholic hospitals, sad to say, in this country that do the very bare minimum and do their work very hard to try to circumvent the ethical and religious directives, and that's very unfortunate. These institutions have unfortunately essentially lost their Catholicity. But on the other hand, there's some very good, faithful Catholic hospitals that truly work hard to do the very best, to bring the very, very best medical care that follows the wonderful, beautiful ethical guidelines that the Catholic Church has to offer us.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes, that was very helpful. Thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Anonymous. Appreciate that call. I think we can get a real quick. Well, let's see if we can get a real quick one in here. Andy in Lincoln, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Can you real quick get Dr. Doug out of the question so he'll have time to answer it?
Well, yeah, I think I can. Just wanted to say hi, Dr. Delgado, and Cy.
Hi.
Good to have you on the line.
The question I have, I guess I'm hoping that I can describe the condition that my daughter has. She's been prescribed birth control for a medical condition, and I don't remember the name of it. Anyway, acne is one of the symptoms. She's in her 20s. She's also been told that she's not likely to be able to conceive, and her testosterone levels are really high.
And sounds like she has polycystic ovarian syndrome. Sounds like she has polycystic ovarian syndrome, and that can be treated.
Yeah, that sounds like what I was told, something that I couldn't remember.
So she should find a doctor trained in NAPRO technology, and she can go to Fertility Care Centers of America, go to the website and look under medical consultants, because there is a surgery that's been resurrected called the ovarian wedge resection that is the closest thing to a cure for polycystic ovarian syndrome. And I would recommend that. That would be much safer than being on birth control pills. If she doesn't want to have the surgery at this stage in her life, then there are multiple medications that can be used to treat the polycystic ovarian syndrome and the acne without her being on birth control pills that would be probably just as effective and would be safer. So I would urge you to look into those two things.
Go ahead, Andy.
Can you give me those references again?
Sure. Fertility Care Centers of America. And then you'd look for a medical consultant there. And you can also go to naprotechnology.com.
Napro, N-A-P-R-O?
N-A-P-R-O, technology.com.
Andy, thanks very much. I hope that turns out to be helpful to you and your daughter. What is Napro, Dr. Delgado?
That's a new women's health science, short for natural procreative technology, that was founded by Dr. Thomas Hilgers. It's a way to diagnose and treat underlying causes of conditions affecting the fertility system that is completely in concert with the Catholic Church's teachings and with all religious teachings, in fact.
I see. Okay, so it's a kind of a system for using the latest and greatest technology for women, but in an ethical, moral, acceptable way.
That's right.
Hey, very great to hear it. I will recommend again to the listener, check out the Washington Post website today. Wonderful article on Dr. Delgado and the work he is doing with reversing abortion pill. The website is abortionpillreversal.com. Yes?
That's right.
Okay, abortionpillreversal.com. Dr. George Delgado, thank you so much for another fine hour. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. And happy Easter.
Hey, happy Easter. And God bless you in your continued efforts to continue to save lives. It means so much. Next hour, we're going to continue with Pro-Life Open Forum. This time, we will be joined by Stephanie Gray, a magnificent pro-life speaker and activist. An ethicist. So if you're on the line, go ahead, hang on the line. We'll do our best to get to you. If you haven't called, 888-318-7884 is the number. We'll be right back after this on Catholic Answers Live.